So I have an illustration this morning of something related to heaven, and I think you guys can relate to this. Something Jill and I often fall victim to. My wife Jill is not here today because we have some sick kiddos, so she's at home. But we like to go out to eat, and whenever we find a really nice restaurant we want to go out to eat to, we'll plan the date night, and we'll get all excited about this. For me, it's like Red Lobster, and I know they're doing the endless, you know, whatever right now. But what we'll do is we'll get on the menu in the morning, and we'll decide what we're going to eat that day. And so we'll get all excited. We'll be on our iPads or whatever, looking at the menu. And then all day long, I'll starve myself, right? Because I really want this. I picked out what I'm going to get, and I will just not eat. I'm going to enjoy this. And then we get there, and we're all excited, and it never fails. What do? Well, Red Lobster, wherever you go, they bring food, right? They bring bread often, right? Garlic biscuit. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, we're in the morning again. This is bad. I'm talking about food. Stomachs are going to start growling. But it never fails. Jill and I can put away like three baskets of whatever they put in front of us, right? I mean, because it's awesome. I'm starving. I haven't eaten all day. And then we look at each other, and there's this like sense of, this is pathetic. We're at this really nice place that we've been waiting for this entree all day long, and I'm kind of stuffed. And I feel like you can relate to that. I hear some laughing. You guys have done some stuff like that. I feel like in some ways that's how I relate to the passage of Scripture we're going to put on the screen and read in just a second. But whenever I think about heaven and the commands to set my mind on heaven, I feel like in many ways all I do is eat up this metaphorical stuff that's right in front of my face, and I can't get beyond the stuff that's right here to think about the glory that's coming ahead. So we're going to read Colossians 3, 1 through 4. I think it should be on the screen. Or I'm going to read it. You follow along here on the screen. We're told to do this. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, speaking of heaven, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So what's the problem with me obeying this command, with you obeying this command? There's a lot, honestly, yes. There's a lot of problems with obeying this command. But for some, myself included, often it's just that I'm not real sure what's on the menu. I mean, right now, if I was to ask you what's heaven going to be like, and we all wrote it down, I have a feeling we'd have some ambiguity, right? Some confusion. So part of the problem with obeying this command is simply that it's a little bit confusing if we're not real sure what the Bible says heaven is going to be like. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning, heaven. One of the reasons I wanted to talk about heaven is because we have kids with us this morning. Granted, like 95% of our kids are homesick right now. But typically this fifth Sunday, we have our kids with us, and we got the King kids and some other kids here with us. Happy birthday, Hallie. Kids are fascinated by heaven, aren't they? If you've ever been around kids, one of the most common questions I get asked is about heaven. Kids ask questions like, what is heaven? How do I get there? When will I go? Where is it? And Bella, my four-year-old, likes to ask, will they have school? Are they going to have milk at school? Can I take my toys? Does everybody go to heaven? Will there be bad people in heaven? And she goes on and on. I mean, regularly we get questions about heaven. And I can't help but think that Jesus digs this about kids. You think? Jesus digs that kids are fascinated with heaven. I think this is part of the sense of passages when Jesus says things like, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That's kind of a bold statement, isn't it? Kids love heaven. They're fascinated with seeing Jesus, with knowing Jesus. But somewhere along the line, the older we get what? We get jaded. We get cynical. We get broken. We get all this sin junk in us that loses our fascination with heaven. We become in love with all kinds of things. I don't need to name them. But somewhere we lose it. Even the idea of seeing face to face Jesus, seeing our Maker in heaven, we kind of lose our fascination with that. And so what I hope to do this morning is just kind of create another spark for that. A spark. Everyone in this room at some point was fascinated probably with heaven. And I want us to return to that. To set our minds on things above rather than things below. So let's dig right in. What is heaven? Isaiah 66:1. We're going to come to our main text in here in just a bit. But Isaiah 66:1 says, heaven is my throne. Heaven's where God lives. Pretty basic. So heaven is a place? Yes, heaven is a place. Jesus, talking about heaven, says this in John 14:1-3. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Heaven is where God lives. Heaven is a place that right now Jesus is preparing for those who follow him, who believe in him. So what I want to do right now is I want to turn to Revelation 21, the very end of the Bible. If you've got a Bible with you, it's also going to be here on the screen. And this is the main text I want us to look at this morning. This is the place. This is the place that if you believe in Jesus, you will go. This is the place that we're just told to set our minds on. So as we read this, I know that I often have the temptation to zone out as we start reading scripture. It's on the screen. If you need to close your eyes and just listen, do so to be fascinated. But look and see where you are going if you believe in Jesus. Revelation 21:1-8 says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He, God, will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For these former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne, God Almighty, says, behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this down. He's talking to John. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Everything you're reading is going to be true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. I can't begin to explain everything the Bible has to say about heaven in these few short minutes. I also can't pretend to be a seminary professor who's studied the Bible for 50 years, okay? I'm not someone who knows everything about heaven. But what I hope happens this morning is that I give us something from God's word so that when we leave and think, set our minds on things above, that has some zeal to it. That has some spark to it. That has some, yeah, that's really good. I pray that we would live in light of heaven. So I want to start with something simple, a beautiful reality that you might have heard before. If you've ever been to a funeral, you might have heard heaven spoken of as a place like verse 4, where God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be death no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. I don't know what hurts you've had in this room. I don't know what you've experienced yet in life. But is anybody tired of evil? Tired of pain? Tired of losing people? Tired of suffering? Tired of these diseases? There's this little girl that I'm praying for right now. These diseases that take not only old people, but kids too. Tired of that junk, that sin? In heaven, that's no more. No more. Tired of depression, fears, anxiety, sadness, all these longings that are unmet here on this earth. In heaven, that is no more. God Almighty says, these former things have passed away. And behold, I'm making all things new. All things new. What's God making new? Look at verse 1 of Revelation 21. Behold, I'm making a new heaven, but also, this might throw some of you for surprise, a new earth. A new heaven and a new earth. What do you mean by that? That takes some people by surprise, a new earth. There are a lot of verses in the Bible that talk about this, but I just want to highlight one to you. I'm going to put it up on the screen here. Know that this is indicative of many passages in the Bible. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. In this verse, God says, for the creation, meaning this earth, everything in it, the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility. You know this, right? Sin entered the world. And it says, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption, and the creation itself obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. That's an interesting passage, isn't it? That earth itself, the creation God has made, not just this planet, but the creation that God made, is longing for the reconciliation, redemption, renewal, and glory that the children of God will experience. You say, that's a little confusing. It is, but the whole scope of the Bible seems to teach that creation itself, right now, is in bondage to corruption and sin. You may or may not have realized that, but you look around and say, why does bad stuff happen a lot in this world? Why are there things about this earth that don't make sense and are evil? Because creation is in bondage to sin and slavery and death, just like you and me were before Jesus freed us from that. Creation is like in chains, and it has not yet been set free by Jesus. So, other passages in the Bible speak about creation being burned up, which might lead some to think that it just completely ceases to exist. But I actually personally think that the more, and this falls on both sides, but I actually think the Bible leads more to a renewal sense of this earth. The Bible speaks about it being burned up, but something remains. It doesn't all go away. It's burned up and purged and renewed. The Bible also speaks about being shaken up. It talks about the earth being shaken. It also talks about it being changed and transformed. Those exact words, changed, transformed, renewed. But this detail remains that there's going to be not only a new heaven, but also a new earth. So why am I belaboring this? The fact that there's going to be a new earth? Because one of the things that God is making new is our bodies. The Bible says that we who believe in Jesus are going to receive new bodies, physical bodies, when we enter heaven. Now, I understand that most of us here are relatively young. Maybe the idea of this awesome new body is like, yeah, that's kind of cool. But, you know, it'll be a lot cooler when we're having some issues, when we're a little bit older, like Tony and, you know, but Russ in the back. But, you know, right now, a lot of us who are younger might be thinking, you know, okay. But I promise you, you are going to think it is awesome that you get this new body. I promise, okay? In this new body, you're going to do stuff. The purpose of this new body is not to wrap you like on commercials in a diaper and put wings on you and float you on a cloud. Okay, if that was what you were looking forward to about heaven, having a new body so you could look like these commercials, you're going to be disappointed. Because in the new body, you are going to do cool stuff, okay? You say, well, you're going on speculation here, Scott. No, I'm not. I'm going to read scriptures about what your new body is going to do, okay? Your new body in your new heaven and earth that I'm going to show you actually gets joined together. What? Heaven comes down, New Jerusalem, and lands where? In like a new earth. Heaven and earth come together. And we read about things happening in heaven, but we also read about things happening on the new earth, and things from the new earth come into the new heaven, and things from the new heaven go out and come into the new earth. And we're going to read that nothing holy, unholy exists in either place. Yeah, talk about blowing your mind. Some of the things we're going to do in this new body, I've just given you a foretaste, okay? This is just a taste of some of the things we're going to do. Revelation 19:9 says that we're going to go to a party with Jesus. And at that party, we're going to eat the most amazing food and drink the most amazing wine and party it up like we've never partied before. Yeah? Wow. Okay, Scott. All right. How about this? Isaiah 25:6. Let me read it. I don't know if it's for the screens or not. If not, listen here. In Isaiah 25:6, it's talking about heaven. Heaven. And it says this. The Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food. Is there going to be food in heaven? Rich food for all the peoples. A banquet of aged wine. Are you sure this is the Bible? It is. A banquet of aged wine. The best meats and the finest of wines. That's the Bible talking about what heaven is going to be like. Okay? I like meat. I like wine. I like cheese. I don't know if that was in there or not, but I was thinking, when I was thinking rich food, that's what I was thinking. But you know what else I like? I personally, seriously, all week long, I've been excited about having a cup of coffee with Jesus. Okay, wait a second. You're going to stretch us here. Having a cup of coffee with Jesus. In the original creation, what did God say about it? Before sin, when God made everything, what did he say? It's very good. And in that very good, did God make coffee trees? Yes. God made coffee trees. And throughout this entire Bible that we have, I get this idea that God is restoring, renewing, reconciling, taking us back to his original purpose for why he made creation and people. 1 Timothy 6:17 says that God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Does that include coffee? I think so. 1 Timothy 4:4-5 says, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. Do I understand that people can abuse this? Yeah, I understand that. But do I want to be some religious hypocritical church that says meat, wine, cheese, and coffee are evil? No, I don't want to be that church. God said that stuff was good. Jesus, talking to his disciples, said, I'm going to drink wine with you in heaven. Be ready. Jesus said this stuff is good, okay? Now, wait a second. What's the problem? The problem is you and I pervert everything. Everything. Pardon me. We take what God says is good, and we mess it up badly. We mess it up badly. My point here in talking about coffee and wine and all this stuff about heaven and new bodies and is not to try to stretch how far can I go here, but it's to do this, is to shake you up and to shake me up, because heaven is not going to be boring. It's not going to be boring. Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence, God, there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I believe, I really do, that the Bible actually teaches that when we get to heaven, that we're going to go on learning more and more. I don't think that all of a sudden you get a chip plugged in your head and you know everything. That's not what I think heaven is. I think you're going to go on learning and getting excited about what you've learned, and you're going to discover, and you're going to explore, and you're going to be amazed at what you discover. I think our God is so infinite that you can explore this entire creation and never reach the end of it. You want to travel the solar system? I don't know what that's going to be like. That's kind of what I think that we cannot get to the end of God. And I don't think God's going to stick us in heaven and we go, oh, that's great, I know it all. Let's just sing. I don't think that's what it's going to be like. I think your mind is going to be blown and excited and joyful and zealous for all stinking eternity. And I don't think this idea of eternity is just like some timeless, momentless existence where you just sit around in an ecstatic state of nothingness for all time. No, I think it's going to be familiar. I think there's going to be days and moments in heaven. There's another passage in Scripture that talks about the tree of life that will be in heaven. And guess what? It's going to have fruit on it. And the Bible says every month the fruit is going to change. Did you know that? Every month in heaven, the fruit on the tree of life is going to change. What does that imply? Time, moments, seasons of sorts even. I don't understand all of this. But the Bible says it's true, and that excites me. So I want you to go home and play games with your kids or your spouse or your significant other, girlfriend, boyfriend, and go, what do you think heaven's going to be like? You think heaven will have this? You think heaven will let, you think this will happen in heaven? I want you to be excited about heaven. My daughter, Bella, we have this Bible. It's called the Jesus Storybook Bible. And at the very end, there's a picture of heaven. It's a picture of the New Jerusalem. And it's beautiful. It looks like a princess castle from Disney or something. It's just beautiful. And Bella loves it. She's fascinated with it. She wants to read that story all the time. And I realized that seeing that picture makes her excited about where she thinks she's going to live. She thinks she's going to live in that picture in the Jesus Storybook Bible. And I think that's a lot closer than the picture we think we're going to live in sometimes. So one of the things I want to do now is move to the next passage in Revelation 21. It's the rest of this. I admit it's a little long, and it's longer than we normally read Scripture. I mean, this is a ton of stuff. So don't zone out. If you need to close your eyes and just listen and create a mental picture, that's okay. I won't think you're sleeping, even if you're really tired. So we're just going to read Revelation 21, 9 through 27. This is a descriptive passage, okay? It's going to tell you what this place that I just described is going to kind of look like, so that you have a picture in your head and you don't think it's Disneyland necessarily, but you can see what it looks like. The Word of God says, and he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Its radiance, this place you're going to live, like a most rare jewel, like a jasper. clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the 12 gates, 12 angels. And on the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. How big is heaven? Here's the answer. The city, the new heaven, lies four square. Its length, the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. Length, width, height, equal. He also measured its wall, 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, like clear glass. Before I keep reading, just let me make note that that measurement we gave is 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles wide, 1,400 miles high. 1,400 miles high. And that's just the new heaven. That's not the new earth. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite. Guys now have no idea, while the girls know exactly what this looks like. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysoprase. The 11th, jacinth. And the 12th, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And the city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb, Jesus. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. What? But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yeah. Now, as hard as it is for me to wrap my head around what we just read, to live in a place that's like this, you know what I cannot wrap my head around? We're going to be living there with God. God, the one who made all of this and you and me. We're going to live there with him. He specifically wants to live with us. That blows my mind. And when I think about it too much, I think, how am I going to live with God? I mean, if God right now were in this room, I would probably go hide, because I have two things that I'm really frustrated about right now. And I'm often really frustrated by them. And I think you could relate to some of them. The first is that I am a sinful dude. Tony did not ask me to teach because I'm not sinful. I'm a sinful dude. Twisted, messed up, filled with shame. If Jesus were looking at me right now, I would have some serious like mental turmoil going on. I'm knowing, I know that I'm righteous. I know that you forgave me, but I am messed up. I'm impure. I am not the kind of person that God would want to just look at and go, yeah, that's great. My second frustration is that I'm frustrated, to be completely honest, that I don't have the relationship with God that I want to have. I can't see God. I can't touch God. I can't have a verbal, audible conversation with God. And that often frustrates me. And when I read about heaven, the two things that seem to be extremely clear and explicit is that both of those are going to be fixed. I am going to be as pure can be. There is nothing impure. I will not be in heaven impure. I will be totally, perfectly pure. And I will not be talking and praying and thinking on someone that I can't see. I will see God. I will see Jesus. We will talk. We will play soccer. I don't know. We will hang. And so will you. And it's going to be so amazing. That is what I can set my mind on that. I can leave here right now and I can set my mind on that. Jesus, in response to talking about heaven, Jesus, in response to the things we've talked about today, says this in Matthew 6, 19 through 21. So do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, how many times have you heard this? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where my treasure is, there my heart will be also. I want to challenge us as a church today. This is real. God said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Does that sound better than whatever we're making our treasure right now? That's forever. Whatever treasure we're building right now is so temporary. I know a lot of you guys are in the same place I was 10 years ago or whatever. If we got some collective wisdom here for everyone who has built a treasure, how that's worked out for them, was it really worth it? Was it worth it to gain the world and forfeit your soul? No, it wasn't worth it. I want to challenge us as a church to start talking more about heaven, to start living in light of heaven. Because I think it applies to everything we do. It applies to whether or not we're going to love this neighborhood that we moved into. It applies to whether or not we work ourselves to death at the expense of our families and people who don't know Jesus. It applies to every dimension of our life. Heaven. It's worth going there. It's worth living in light of it. So I want to make sure a misconception that could happen right now. A misconception could be that as we leave here, you get the idea that I'm proposing that we stop enjoying life on earth. So do we stop enjoying life on earth because we're supposed to, it's going to somehow make heaven cooler? No, I'm not proposing anything remotely similar to that. I'm actually proposing the opposite, okay? I'm proposing that you do this. What do you like? Do you like good food? Do you like culture? Do you like art? Do you like music? Do you like learning? Do you like discovering things? Do you like playing games? Do you like whatever it is you like? Do you know why you like what you like? Because every good and perfect gift is from who? From God. Everything that you enjoy, granted, with a disclaimer, we pervert most everything we enjoy. But the very reason that you're able to enjoy things like art, like music, like games, like fun, sports, the only reason you can enjoy that is because God said you were made in His image. God is creative. Do you know that God digs art and music and sports and games? You say, come on, Scott, really? Yes, really. You're made in the image of God. You think you create things that God can't create? Or that somehow you thought of how to make these things and God didn't put them in you so that you would make these things? These things are what God is about. And I believe that God is reconciling all these things to Himself. I think that you are going to find yourself, if you believe in Jesus, in a place where all the things that you love and more that you're going to discover for all eternity are so fun and amazing and awesome and joyful. I think that you can create art in heaven, create music in heaven, write literature in heaven. All the things that you find amazing about this earth that God made, I think you are going to be blown away by what God has for us in heaven. What about the bad? You say, okay, that's great, Scott. I got crap in my life right now. I got bad. I've got hurt. I've got pain. What about those? Use those. God did not get taken by surprise that your kids got sick. I hate it when my kids are sick. They're sick right now. God, you know why my kids are sick? I can't answer that question. You know why this stuff happens? So that I long for heaven. When I'm holding my sick daughter who is coughing and miserable and crying, I'm longing for heaven. I want to be freed from this junk. Not my daughter, but the junk that's getting her sick. Long for it. Yearn for it. The next time hardship comes between you and your spouse, long for heaven. Say, baby, I love you, but let's go to heaven. Let's go to heaven. I told that to my wife this week, and she kind of looked at me like, I don't know how to take that. I said, I don't know either, but I want heaven. I want heaven. But you'll notice that if we had lots of kids in the room with us today, we still haven't answered one of their questions. We've alluded to it a lot. We still haven't talked about how do we get to heaven. And you know where I'm going with this. But I'm going to throw a curveball at you. I'm going to tell you some lists of who won't be in heaven. Let me give you a list of some people who won't be in heaven. We just read it in Revelation 21, verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for all murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Another list, Galatians 5:19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Another list. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Just as God said these things are trustworthy and true, write them down. These things that I just read are trustworthy and true. At the end of those lists that I just read, you find this line. I left one line off. Here's the very end of 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you. I'm saying that to you. I'm saying that to me. Those lists that I just read, any of those resonate with you? I think if you're honest. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. Look, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And such were some of you, and such was I. Entering heaven is a moral problem. All that awesomeness we just talked about today, entering that place is a moral problem. God is pure. Heaven is pure. God is full of justice. You will never go to heaven by being good enough to go to heaven. Here's why this little church in a comic book store exists. Because we've been washed by the blood of Jesus. When God the Holy One evaluates me, evaluates you, he does not see the sexually immoral. He does not see liars. If you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus. The Bible is so clear. If you have ever done any of those things that I've read, if you have ever been sexually immoral, greedy, envious, jealousy, angry, you will not go to heaven. You will not go to heaven. But if you cry out to God and say, I am sexually immoral, I am greedy, I am evil, I am an idolater, have mercy on me, Lord Jesus. I turn from the wicked person that I am, and I put every ounce of hope and trust I have in Jesus Christ, my God. You will never again in your life be seen by God as a liar. You will never again in your life be seen by God as sexually immoral. You have been washed at that point. You have been sanctified. You have been legally justified, and God the Father will never in all eternity look at you and see a liar. He will see someone who has been forgiven, washed, redeemed, reconciled, and that place we talked about is yours. You are the conqueror. The one who conquers will inherit this. Why would you leave this place today if you've never trusted Jesus? Why would you not do that? If you've never done that, run to Tony in the back. Run to me as we start singing. Tell him I want to go to heaven. I want God to see me as forgiven, not as a liar, not as a sexually immoral person, not as someone who will spend forever in a place of burning fire and sulfur. Let's pray. Father, I want to go to heaven. I just want to go to heaven, and I want everyone here who hears these words to go to heaven. I want to play sports and music and everything with these people right here. Lord Jesus, show us that you are worth putting everything into. Show us that we have something to set our minds on, that we can set our minds on heaven. And we can live in light of heaven. We can enjoy every good thing you give as a foretaste of heaven. We can endure every bad thing that comes into our lives as a way to prepare us for heaven, to give us a longing for heaven. Heaven every day. Heaven is you, Jesus. Thank you. Father, I pray that you would do your work right now by the Holy Spirit. Amen.